For the final time tonight, Psalm 119, and here it's the letter T in Hebrew, and here's what it says: Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Now, I want to point out something in just the reading of the text. The noun word in verse 169 is different in Hebrew from the noun word in verse 170, which we'll point out as we go through it. Verse 171 says, Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord. And your law is my delight. Let my soul live, that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you for the wonderful privilege we've had in these past weeks of going through each of these eight verse sections that comprise this inspired and monumental 119th Psalm. We pray that as we look at this for the final time tonight, that you would minister to our minds and hearts. We thank you for all who've taken time out of their lives to be here. We pray this will be profitable for them and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We come now, of course, to the final section, which is the final letter of the 119th Psalm. The letter is T. This letter is number 22 of the Hebrew alphabet. It's number 19 of the Greek alphabet, and it is number 20 of the English alphabet. Now, as we've said multiple times in the course of this psalm was written for the purpose of magnifying God's word. That's the point of it. Every one of these eight verse sections is designed to magnify the word of God, and it is specifically carefully written in the order of the Hebrew alphabet for the purpose of stressing the importance of systematically studying God's written word. That's the point. So you have in one psalm a psalm that just elevates and magnifies the word, and the way that it's constructed, it also elevates the reality that it should be studied systematically, just like you'd study an alphabet. Every section is carefully constructed so that each word begins each eight verse section with the letter of that particular section. So if the letter is T, which it is tonight, then every verse that begins this section starts with the letter T, and we've underlined the English words that actually start the Hebrew text for you in your notes tonight. And this attention to structure, I just find amazing. We have to conclude that this writer really wanted to promote the idea that you systematically study the written word of God. I mean, there's no other explanation for why he would take the trouble to write a remarkable psalm that emphasizes the word of God and then use it in a Hebrew alphabet in putting it together. Now, as we've journeyed through this psalm, we've seen the writer was still experiencing some adversity and hardships that we've seen all through the 22 sections. Clearly, his commitment to the Word of God did not eliminate all the negatives. And certainly, our commitment to the Word of God is not going to eliminate all the negatives of our life either. However, his commitment to the Word of God did enable him to cope with all of the negatives. That's something we've seen. So even though all of the problems didn't go away, certainly he was able to cope with the problems. Now, the two main themes that just continually show up down through this particular psalm is, obviously, this writer loved God's written word. That's theme number one. That's just seen time and time again, his focus on loving the word of God. And number two, he prayed to God. So you have those two themes. Those themes show up over and over again. This writer was a man who was dedicated to the word. This writer was a man who prayed. He was dedicated to prayer. And those two themes certainly become the predominant themes of this final section. What really happens here is the writer wraps up this psalm by making some final requests to the Lord. As Psalm 119 ends, the writer pours out his heart to God in prayer. And once again, as we'll see, as he's praying, he's focusing on the written word of God. In view of the fact, in this case, he's straight. He obviously is straight. And his focus is on talking to God. His focus is on the written word of God. So the writer knows this is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which means this is the last section he knows he's going to write in this psalm. So this finale is one in which he pours out his heart to God. He has worked his way letter by letter through 22 sections, carefully thinking about life and problems and carefully thinking about his own struggles. And he has worked his way carefully through 22 sections doing that. And one commentator said he really has two basic themes. Lord, hear me, and Lord, help me. And both of those themes were based on the scriptures. Hear me and help me. Now, life is not easy, as we all know. I mean, life, even for a believer, has some bumpy spots. And in this section, it would appear to me that this writer was going through one of those bumpy spots, and he apparently had done something wrong. I mean, by his own admission, at the end of the psalm, he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I mean, he admits that. And I think that's something that's so important, because we've seen through this psalm that any relationship that we have with God is going to be based on truth. You cannot possibly con God into having him think anything, because he knows the truth. So if we're going to have a relationship with God, we must be honest with God in our pursuit of what is right before the Lord and in our admission of what we've done wrong before the Lord, which this writer does. Now, having wandered off the path, which this writer did, it appears to me from the finale of the psalm that he sensed the need to talk to God. He'd wander off the path. He knew he would wander off the path. He said, I have to talk to God. And he also sensed the need, I need to get back into the Word. If you can remember those things, if we can remember those two things, those are great principles to always remember when we wander off the path. We need to talk to God, and we need to get back to the Word. And that's exactly what this writer does in this part of the psalm. Now, there are, as near as I can determine, 13 final requests that this writer makes to the Lord. Number one, he makes a request for God to permit his cry to come before him. Verse 169 says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Now, he'd gone astray. That comes out later here. So he probably wasn't feeling real confident about his ability to talk to God and have God listen to him. When you go astray from the Word of God, you don't have a real confidence that I can go to the Lord and I can ask him for things and I can expect he's going to hear me and answer me. And so he says, as he begins this, let my cry come before you, O Lord. It's very emotional. That verb cry is very emotional. In Hebrew, it's a very fervent appeal he's making to the Lord. And since he had wandered off the path, he knew in order for that to happen, God was going to have to demonstrate grace to even permit his prayer to go to him. I mean, he certainly didn't deserve to have God answer the prayers that he's going to make when in fact he knows he's wandered off the path. So he humbly goes to the Lord and he cries to the Lord and asks the Lord to let his prayer come before him. He does not assume that God is automatically going to do it. I mean, he certainly is not giving here some name it and claim it prayer request to the Lord. There's no arrogance here. There's real humility here. He is an emotional person, and he's crying out to the Lord for him to grant grace in listening to his prayer. You know, just because a person prays emotionally does not mean God's going to move through that prayer request. I mean, a person could be very emotional and pray and not have the prayer go any higher in the ceiling. What I think is interesting is that this writer humbly approaches God with a contrite spirit. And his desire, the desire of his heart, was to ask God to permit his prayer to come into his presence. Oh, that would be the desire of our hearts. What a great heart that is. If the desire we have is that our prayers will always be powerful in the presence of God. His second request is the request for God to give him understanding of his word. Verse 169, he says, give me understanding according to your word. Now the word that's used for word here, dabir in Hebrew, is a particular Hebrew word that has the emphasis of, as I can understand it, examining the actual words in a contextual, systematic way. You're examining the words in order. And so what he's praying about here is, I want to understand your word and what they mean as I would understand it in the context. Lord, give me an understanding of your word in the order that you put those words. That seems to be the emphasis or flair of that particular noun word. So he knew he needed God to grant him that ability, because you don't just have that. I mean, you don't just pick up a Bible and you connect the dots. He knew that in order for that to happen, God needed to do that for him. And I find it interesting that he's asking God to do that when he's admitted he's strayed. What he realizes is, I've strayed, I need to get back to the Word of God. And I need to be able to understand that Word. And in order to do that, I need to ask God to give me understanding. Which brings us to his third request, his request for his supplication to come before him. Look at verse 170. Let my supplication come before you. Again, you see the humility that this writer demonstrates in his prayer. He doesn't believe that he can just rifle off a prayer and he deserves to do it and God should answer him because he's doing it. He leaves it all to the Lord. He basically says, Lord, I'm praying. I realize the final decision concerning any prayer request I make belongs to you. I'm appealing to you for your grace. Please let my supplication come into your presence. Please, by your sovereign grace, hear my prayer. You know, when we're not right with God, when we've strayed, and then the attitude, I'm just going to go to God and pray about anything. That's crazy. That's crazy. God isn't going to listen to us. He's not going to listen to us till we deal honestly and truthfully with what's going on there. And this guy has a real humility here. He realizes, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to even be able to talk to God. But I know that his word says that he's a gracious God. He's a forgiving God. And so he asked the Lord to let his supplication come before him. His fourth request is he requests deliverance based on God's word. Verse 170, deliver me according to your word. Now, this noun word is different. It's amar, not dabir. And this particular Hebrew word is a word that refers to the commands that God has, the promises that he's made. And so he goes to the Lord and he makes two assumptions in the request. First of all, deliverance comes from God. And secondly, deliverance will always be in accordance with God's written word. Now, he obviously has strayed. He needs deliverance. He needs help. He knows that he can't do it. And so he asks God to do it. He asked God in his grace to deliver him. He knows that deliverance comes from God. Where did he learn about that? In the written word. For example, God says in Proverbs 28:13 that he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. So God says, if one of my people needs me to deliver them from their sin, or if one of my people has strayed and they need deliverance from their sins, they can't try to conceal it if they're going to expect to have my mercy and grace and forgiveness. You try to cover it and conceal it and not do business with me honestly, you'll never get the grace and forgiveness of God. God's the only one who can grant forgiveness from sin. And he's only going to do that to one who's willing to be honest about it. And if a person confesses it and turns from it, he will grant deliverance. And where did that idea come from for this man? It came from the word of the Lord. Deliver me according to your word. He knew in the scriptures there was the grace of God that was a real possibility for one who'd strayed. Which brings us to his fifth request. He requests God to permit his lips to utter praise. Verse 171, let my lips utter praise. You know, I would say probably most of the time our lips utter anything but praise. If we calculate what goes through our mouths on a daily basis, probably praising God is real low on the list. But this man who had wandered off the path wanted to be so close to the Lord again that he would offer praise through his lips. And this is a pretty powerful verse because he believed the ability to praise God in a very acceptable way was a permission of God. I mean, he believed that God was the one who could actually permit his lips to utter praise. In other words, the ability to praise something, praise God, is something God must grant. And even though, again, he'd gone astray, he believed it was possible he could get back on track. He believed it was possible that he could get back on track, get committed to the Word of God, get understanding the Word of God, get walking with God, and offer praise again. And that's what he's asking God to do. Let praise come from my lips. The sixth request is, teach me your statutes. He says in verse 171, for you teach me your statutes. You know, true praise is consistent with God's Word, and in order to understand God's Word, one must be taught God's Word. And one who's taught God's Word is happy. Now, I can personally relate to that slightly. Back in 1977, when I, after 1976, I got saved, but in 1977, I began asking the Lord to help me learn the Word. I wanted to learn the Word of God. And how did God answer that prayer? Well, he used my brother, part of the process, to point me to a school where I could go and be taught the Scriptures. He led me through his recommendation to the place that I can learn. And I believe when we pray and we ask God to teach us his Word, he's still in the business of leading people to a place where they can be taught the Word of God. In fact, I would dare say that's probably why most of you are in this church. You want to be taught the Scriptures. You don't settle for anything less than that. And as a result, God has worked in a variety of ways, variety of circumstances. It's interesting hearing how new people come into the church. And God is in the business of obviously still teaching people his statutes and leading them and opening doors for them. And this was a request he made. Lord, please, you teach me your statutes. The seventh request is the request to let his tongue sing of God's word. Verse 172, let my tongue sing of your word. Now, we get a critical glimpse of what real praise singing actually is. It's music that's sung that's based on an accurate understanding of God's written word. That's what praise singing should be. It's singing that is based on truth about the word of God. And this writer who had strayed was obviously, as you'll see in just a moment, very low emotionally. But he believed it was possible for him to sing again. And to sing praises that were based on the Word of God again. So he asked the Lord to let his tongue do that again. Let his tongue sing the praises of God. You know, there's a thing, I can't even believe this. It's just mind-boggling to me. When I was in radio back in the 70s, there was a journal, and it was what they would call the, it's almost a disrespectful, but they would call it the Bible of radio, was Billboard Magazine. And Billboard Magazine listed all the top-selling songs, and it came out weekly, so that you knew what the top-selling songs were all across the nation. And so then you would produce formats for radio programs based on what the top-selling songs were all across the nation. There is a magazine that's called Billboard Hot Christian Songs. I looked at this magazine, and you would think you're looking at a magazine that was from the rock and roll music era of the 70s. It looks identical to the Billboard magazine that I used to look at in contemporary radio. And when you look at the top songs, I mean, this is just like Billboard charts of top Christian songs. They're not songs written to magnify the word. In fact, they're not songs written to magnify the word at all. I actually looked up some of the lyrics of the Psalms, and some of the lyrics of those songs they're singing are contrary to the word of God. It's all emotional. It's all musical. I mean, it all is just not biblical. But you see here what real singing is supposed to be. Real singing is supposed to be a singing of a tongue that sings the truth about the word. And so he asked the Lord, let my tongue sing of your word. The eighth request is the request for God's hand to always be ready to help. Verse 173 says, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Now the hand of God is often used as a metaphor of what God's willing to do, the action he's willing to take. And when he prays for God to let his hand be ready to help, he's asking God, I know I don't deserve this, Lord, because I've wandered here. I know I don't deserve this, but what I would ask you to do is, would you be willing to take action in situations of my life? Would you be willing to step in and take action in my situation? Would you step into my world personally and help me and direct me and protect me and even punish those who are against me? He knew he didn't deserve this because he'd wandered off the path, but that's what he's asking to do. Now notice carefully the last part of the verse. For I've chosen your precepts. That is important, because it shows us that the basis for him believing that God might do this was the fact that he had dedicated himself to wanting to know, understand, and obey the scriptures. In other words, choosing to obey the word of God was what he was deciding to do, and he thought, you know, with that focus, perhaps God will use his hand to help me. If we want God's intervention, boy, this is a theme that sure comes out at us from this psalm. If we want God's intervention, we better be very serious about God's word. I mean, God can and will come to the aid of his people when they cry out to him for help, but they must be willing to dedicate themselves to the word of God. I mean, God is not a God who just plays a bunch of games. Which brings us to his ninth request, the request concerning his longing. Verse 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord. Now this is more of a statement really than a request, but there's no question this is what he longed for. He longed for God's salvation. He uses an interesting word for long. It means he carefully marked out and desired something. This was a great desire. He wanted God to deliver him. He obviously was in a situation where he was feeling low, as you'll see in just a moment. He wanted the deliverance of God. His tenth request is the request concerning his delight. Verse 174, and your law is my delight. The writer again reinforces to the Lord, look, I find my greatest joy in the word of God. And that's where you will find your greatest joy. It'll always be in the truth of the word of God. It may take us a while to figure that out, but that's where you'll find your greatest joy. It'll be in the word of God. Now we know from the final verse that we'll get to in just a few moments, he'd wandered off the path like a lost sheep. So you have to ask yourself, well, how did the law become his delight when he wandered off the path like a lost sheep? Because the law would show us and show him you've wandered off the path like a lost sheep. Well, what that did was it pointed him to the grace that could be found in the sacrifices. It pointed him to the grace that he could experience by wandering off the path. So if you wander off the path, you would see that you need to get back on the path, and the only way to get back on the path was through the sacrificial system that God had ordained. And so he said, I delight in that. You know, some people, they read the law, they find it boring, they find it tedious, they find it irrelevant. He delighted in it. I mean, he looked at the law when it said, thou shalt not, and he said, you know, I did that. He delighted in that. You know why? Because it drove him into a right relationship with God. He relied on God's grace. And it drove him to realize what a wonderful God God was. The 11th request is the request for his soul to be living again. Concerning his soul living. Verse 175, let my soul live that it may praise you. Now that tells you what was going on in his soul, doesn't it? That's what will always go on in a person's soul who wanders away from the Lord. Stray off the path, this is what will happen. Your soul will be as dry and as dead as it can possibly be. When we stray from the Lord, we're miserable. There's no happiness in straying from God. And that's the point. I mean, he had strayed from the Lord and his soul was miserable. He had obviously done something that perhaps could have even brought about death. Because he talks about, I want my soul to live. So it's possible that he had done something, broken the law, that could have caused death. So the writer appeals to the Lord. This is what he does. He goes to God. He doesn't try to color this. He doesn't try to water this down. I mean, he tells the truth to the Lord and he says, please let my soul live. When we sin, our soul goes dry. When we sin, our relationship with God is dead. And the only thing any of us can do is go to God and ask him in grace to let us live again. Let us have a life of vibrancy in our relationship with the Lord. His 12th request is his request concerning the ordinances helping him. Verse 175, let your ordinances help me. You know, I find that fascinating because this guy truly believed, I can get the best help in any emotional low context from the Word of God. I believe that. I know I'm odd, but I still believe that. I believe the best counseling books are the Word of God. I don't, as you know, put a lot of stock in secular counselors. I don't even put a lot of stock in Christian counselors. The best counseling book and help in the world is the Word of God. And this writer says, let your ordinances help me, not your counselors. Let your ordinances help me. People who find themselves in sin, people who find themselves dry, people who find themselves desperate can be helped by the Word of God. The problem is, most times they won't turn to God like this and they won't turn to the Word of God like this. But that's what he did. But then he wraps it up by saying, fascinating. He asked God to seek him. Look at verse 176. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant because I do not forget your commandments. Now, this is amazing to me. Because if you remember how this psalm started out, let's go back to how this whole psalm started out many, many weeks ago. In verse 2 of the opening part of the psalm, verse 2, we read, how blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. So the psalm opens with a prayer saying that the man who seeks him with all their heart is blessed. So it opens with the writer seeking God. It ends with the writer asking God to seek him. So what he realized is, I don't always seek the Lord. It's been a long journey from verse 1 to here. But he realizes, I don't always seek the Lord. In fact, sometimes I stray like a lost sheep. And what I need when that happens is for God to track me down. I need for God to come and seek me. You know, we've all wandered astray a time or two like a lost sheep. And we've all turned to our own way multiple times. And what's interesting is he says in verse 173, I chose your precepts. He says, I kept your word. But then if that's the truth, why in the world, if you chose the precepts, did you go astray? because he has a nature that isn't perfect. And he admits the truth. He admits the truth that he saw in the Word. And what that truth was is when you go astray, the Word of God says you can get back into a relationship with a gracious and merciful God if you're willing to confess your sin. He'll be faithful and just to forgive the sin, and he'll come rescue his sheep who've wandered off the path. And so he says to God, I've gone astray. Seek your servant. When he uses the noun servant, it would appear to me that he's saying, Lord, I'd like you to use me again. I mean, I got out there. I had no business being out there. But I'm doing honest business with you. I'm coming straight to you to talk to you, and I'm going to your Word. So, Lord, please take your hand and help me. What a marvelous conclusion to this 119th Psalm. And that is the conclusion to the 119th Psalm. It's been quite an amazing journey to go through all 22 of those Hebrew letters. And thank you so much for doing that with us. Well, our time is long gone tonight. I want to thank you for coming.